It's good to see everyone here this morning. As has already been made mention, we do have several who are out. We're out of town, and that shows, but we also have several visitors with us, and we are so glad that you come to be with us, and we hope that your time spent here this morning will be good for you. I hope that everyone that's here this morning, when you leave, you can honestly say it was good that I was here. And we're going to try, as we focus now at this particular point in our service, we're going to focus upon God's Word. We're going to try to examine some things regarding materialism that God has said to us. And in fact, if I were to preach my lesson this morning and just simply read every scripture in the scriptures that deal with the problem and the dangers of materialism, friend, we would be here a long time. Long time. This is a subject that God has dealt with quite extensively in His Word. So we hope that you will pay attention to the things that are said this morning, because God would not have spent so much time on this subject if it, number one, were not important. Number two, if it were not a real serious problem. And I think that that indicates to us that it is a problem. We have been studying in a series the dangers, some of the dangers facing the church. And in this particular lesson, in this series of lessons, what we have done is we've talked about some things that the church is facing today, some dangers that the church is facing. We've talked about the problem of legalism, and yes, that is still a problem today, but now we also talked about in that particular lesson that usually this term is thrown around as a term of derision, spoken against those of us who believe that we must follow the New Testament pattern in order to be pleasing to God. People out there, even among those who profess to be members of the Lord's church, they poke fun at that concept and that idea. And we constantly need to be reminded that we must stay true to God's Word. Friend, there is absolutely nothing wrong to have a heart that is totally and wholly given to complete submission and obedience to Jesus Christ. Nothing wrong with that. And should not be made to feel guilty because we want to obey God. Shouldn't be made to feel guilty at all. But we also talked about the problem and the danger of liberalism, and how we see liberalism running rampant throughout the religious world today. And the idea of religion, and what do we mean by liberalism? Well, just simply taking the Bible and just accepting what we want and throwing the rest of it away. We want to believe this part, but we don't believe the other parts. We need to accept all that God has to say. And we've talked about the danger of false doctrine. It was a danger in New Testament times. Paul dealt with it extensively. So did Peter. Jesus dealt with it extensively. It is still a problem today. Emotionalism. We're going to kind of skip over this since we've actually pointed out and we've pointed to emotionalism and the danger of emotionalism in all three of the previous lessons. And we may come back to that a little later. But this morning we're going to focus in on this one. Materialism. The danger of materialism and how it affects us and the body of Christ as a whole. In later lessons we'll discuss the dangers of worldliness and apathy. What is materialism? Well, one of the definitions, according to Webster, is a theory that everything can be explained as being or coming from matter. Well, this is not the definition that we're going to be looking at this morning, but I think that we ought to make a comment regarding that definition. Friend, if all things just simply came from matter, all things were just there because they happened, they evolved over millions and millions of years. Cooper, would you turn my projector on again, please?
Okay. The screen button?
Yeah, just push that green button. Huh. Light is off again. I just noticed I saw Marvin get up and... When that light right there turns green...
Okay.
Push that green button again. It ought to come on. I'll just have to... Now, you can't see it, so I'm going to have to explain a little bit. I've got a picture up there on the screen right now that you can't see. That's got a picture of Charles Darwin's book, The Origin of Species. And, of course, Charles Darwin, as well as other evolutionists, think that, well, we're here because we just evolved. It just happened over millions and millions of years. Accidentally, here we are. Now, of course, those of us who have any sense and reasonable way of thinking about us at all understand, you know, that just couldn't be so. All you have to do is look at the human body and you can see that it is a very complex
thing. You can look at a single cell and you can think about all of the things that take place in a cell in a split second. All the proteins and how they have to interact with other things, and all of the energy that is simply contained in a single cell of the human body. And you can look at that in amazement, and I don't know for the life of me how in the world anyone can look at the human body and say, it just happened. Just accidentally. Just evolved over millions of years and adapted to society or adapted to the material things that are around it so that it could become most efficient in life. Well, it doesn't make any sense to me, but that's really not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about materialism from the standpoint of a preoccupation with material rather than intellectual or spiritual things. The preoccupation with the material rather than the spiritual. That's what we're here to study this morning. That's what we are here to examine. This is truly a fundamental subject. If you will, turn with me over to the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Matthew the 6th chapter and verse 24. The Lord makes a statement regarding material things and in relationship to God. There's only one thing that we can serve. That's it. Verse 24 says this: no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You what? You cannot serve both God and mammon, or riches, or material things. You cannot serve them both. It's either one or the other. Now, we have to choose. Are we going to serve God? Is He going to be the most important thing in our life? Is He going to be our primary priority? Is He going to be number one in our life? That's the question that we have to answer ourselves. Truly, it is a fundamental subject, and we need to understand the truth of it. There is absolutely no, and I want to make this point up front, there is no inherent virtue in being either poor or wealthy. Either being poor or wealthy. We're not saying this morning, the point of the lesson is not to advocate a theology of poverty. I'm not saying this morning that you have to go out and sell everything that you have in order to serve the Lord. We're not saying that you cannot have material things in order to serve the Lord. What we're saying is you cannot serve material things and serve the Lord at the same time. There's a difference. And I hope that we can come to a clear understanding of that particular difference. But there is absolutely no inherent value in either poverty or riches. Turn with me over to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, the 13th chapter, and look at verse 7 with me. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 7. And what does the wise man say? He says, there is one who makes himself rich, yet he has nothing. And one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. So just because a person is rich doesn't mean that he is truly rich. And just because a person is poor does not mean that he is truly poor. What that simply means is that we can serve God no matter what we have in life, no matter what material blessings we may be blessed with, we can still serve the Lord. We can be faithful to Him. Now, staying in the book of Proverbs, turn over to the book of Proverbs, the 19th chapter and verse 1. In Proverbs 19 and verse 1, we read, there better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. It is all right to be poor. There is nothing wrong with being poor. It's not going to hurt you to be poor. But we're also not saying that you have to be poor. Please understand that. Staying again in the book of Proverbs, turn with me over to the 30th chapter. 30th chapter and verse 8. Notice what the writer here says. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. What is he saying here? He's saying, all right, if I am rich, the chances are that my heart's going to be lifted up with pride and I'm going to look at myself and say, oh, Don, look at what wonderful things you've accumulated while you're here. Look what a wonderful, smart guy you are. And look at all the things you've accumulated. Well, that's a danger with wealth. That's a danger of riches. And you know what? We live in a society today that breeds that mindset. We need to think seriously and we need to think soberly about all the things that we are blessed with You know what? It would be good for us to use that word often when we think about the things that we have. Say, think about look at the things I've been blessed with. Look at what God has given to me. And thank God for it. Be gracious and humble and thank God every day for the many blessings that He has blessed you with. We need to remember where all things come from. But let's say that I am poor. You know, there's a danger there as well, isn't there? I could be lifted up in my heart and be turned against God because I think, well, God, look at what sad situation of life You have placed me in. And we can not like God very much for that. Cooper, go ahead and press that green button again and see what happens.
Still blinking orange.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead and press it again and see what happens. Nothing? Okay. It'll have to cool off, I guess. What happened probably was that it got turned off or the power got shut off or something, and the bulb has to cool down and it's sending an error message to its own self saying, I can't run right now. So we'll have to wait and see and turn the power off later and get it started back up for tonight. But anyway, what I have to be cautious of, whether I am poor or whether I'm rich, to make sure that whatever I have and whatever state I find myself in, to be what? What did Paul say? Content. I need to learn to be content in whatever state I find myself in. The book of Philippians, the 4th chapter, deals with that extensively. In fact, in Colossians, in the 2nd chapter, verse 23, you know, there the Apostle Paul warned against this idea of over punishing ourselves and taking the theology that some had at that particular time. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23, Colossians 2 and verse 23, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Now, this had to do, and of course Paul here is dealing with the mindset that many had at that time, that all self-denial of all the things of life, all the things that are good, you know what, we cannot serve God and please God as long as we have things. So they got done away with all of the things that they had. And certainly that was not right, and Paul says so. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, there the Apostle Paul gives instruction through Timothy to those who are rich. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And then he goes on, he says in verse 18, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You know, Jesus also taught us that it is difficult for a rich man to enter into heaven. In fact, he said it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. But he also said after that, with God all things are possible. And it is true that it is more difficult. In fact, in chapter 6 here of 1 Timothy in verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is the love of money that is the problem. And people who have money, the tendency and the temptation is to fall in love with it. That's the danger. But certainly you can go to heaven as a rich person. And we know of many people who are rich. In the Scriptures, in Genesis the 13th chapter, in verse 2, you know, Abraham was a very, very, very wealthy man. He had a lot of flocks and herds, all kinds of cattle. He had all kinds of riches, silver and gold. He had a lot of stuff. You can think of a lot of people who were faithful to God, in both the Old and New Testament for that matter, who were very rich. God blessed them a lot. Nothing wrong inherently with being wealthy. Abraham, Job, David, Solomon, when he was father, was faithful at least. But you know what? Here's a good example for us. What happened to Solomon? What happened to Solomon? Certainly it was his many wives that led him off into idolatry. We have to be careful with what we have. The real issue is the attitude that we have towards our blessings. towards our things. That is the real issue. In Mark the 10th chapter, Mark chapter 10 and verses 23 through 27, this is what the Lord had to say. But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last and last first." Now, Jesus is saying, you know what? Those of you who follow me, in this life you will have things. Now, I think truly he's talking about the relationship that we enter into in his body, in the kingdom of heaven. You know what? Everyone here who is a Christian this morning, you are my brother, you are my sister. We are family. And we need to recognize that. We have each other. And our possessions, you know what? In the first century in the New Testament church, what did they do with their possessions? When someone had need in a congregation, what did they do? They shared what they had with those who did not have. And the attitude really is what we need to think about. It is the attitude that is important. We need to understand that material things in and of themselves are not wrong. It is our attitude that we can develop towards them, the attitude of covetousness, that is wrong. We've already looked at Matthew 6 and verse 24. A few more scriptures that help identify and define materialism for us. In Luke the 8th chapter, verse 14, in the parable of the sower. You know, the Lord there, as He was talking about these things, the Word of God enters into this person's heart, and he accepts it, but what happens? The cares and the riches and the pleasures of life choke the Word, and he becomes unfruitful. Have you ever seen that happen before? We live in a country today where I am afraid the church is being limited greatly, at least in respect to its possibility. It is being limited greatly because of brethren's concern, over-concern, for the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life. It's a danger, and it is a problem today. In fact, I've said this before, and I believe it with all of my heart, this is the greatest danger that the church here in the United States faces today. The Word can be choked with the cares and riches of this life. In Luke the 12th chapter, verses 13 through 21, if you'll turn over there with me. In Luke the 12th chapter, the parable of the rich fool. In this particular parable, in fact, at the very beginning of it, the Lord makes a statement regarding covetousness, and that's really what we're talking about when we talk about the danger of materialism. Beginning in verse 13, "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?' And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses.' Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, 'The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself.'" So here's the problem. It's his attitude towards things. See if you can see that in this parable particularly. "He thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no more room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Our challenge is prosperity in this country. Even those among us who are the poorest in this country, you know how they compare with other countries? I've been there and I've seen other countries. And brethren, I'll tell you something. People live in other countries a lot worse than the poorest among us live. A lot worse.
I saw that light go out. Have to see what's wrong. The fan may not be working on the bulb, may be getting too hot.
But we see that our challenge is the prosperity that we have. And we need to remember that and think about it and realize the danger. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 5, the Apostle Paul there says that we are to beware again of covetousness, and the danger of covetousness is certainly mentioned in many places in the New Testament, but here as well as Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 5. Paul says that covetousness is idolatry. And if you were listening to Brother Sammons as he read from Isaiah the 2nd chapter, you know, one of the problems there was, in fact, idolatry. But you know, talking about all the riches, the silver and gold that they possessed, they worshiped the things that they had made with their hands. And brethren, I don't care whether the things that they worshiped was shaped in the form of a cow or in the form of some other being or thing or person, or if it's shaped in a dollar bill with George Washington's face on it. Doesn't make any difference what it may be. Anytime that we place anything on an equal or higher plane than God, it is idolatry. It's covetousness when we desire things above God. Now, 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 through 10. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. We need to realize that it is the love of money. Now, what is the attitude that you have? Let's get down to some practical things here. What is the attitude that you have towards the things that God has blessed you with? Are you content with these things? I wish that you could see the chart here. It's just got the points. Discontentment. Are you discontent with the things that you have in life? Do you ever find yourself wishing that you had more, that you want more? There's nothing wrong. Don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with wanting to better yourself in life. Nothing wrong with that. But do you find yourself just not happy with where you are, and because of that unhappiness, you think that more stuff will make you happy? In Philippians 4, verses 11 and 12, Paul learned. He learned to be content with the things that he had. He learned how to be rich, and he learned how to be poor, and he learned how, no matter where he was in life, to be content with what he had. And that is something that we definitely need to learn. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. We definitely need to learn how to be content with the things that God has blessed us with. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with what such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know what? All of the things that we may possess, what's going to happen to them? They're going to either leave us before we leave here, or we're going to leave them here when we go. We can't take them with us. But God will never forsake us. We certainly need to put Him first. Secondly, selfishness. Selfishness. This is the driving, motivating factor of materialism. What I want. We talked a little bit in our Bible study this morning about the danger of selfishness. We talked about it not from the selfish standpoint per se, but how we are raising children, some of the things that we do for our children. Just giving our children money or giving them things and thinking that that is going to be a good substitute for our absence, we are kidding ourselves if we think that's the case. And all that we're teaching them to do is to be selfish. And we're teaching them that things are more important than time. That things are more important than God and serving Him and doing what's right and good. We are living in the me generation. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and the 3rd chapter in verses 1 and 2. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You know, all of those things really could be tied in this idea of selfishness, but certainly materialism can be tied to selfishness. And greed
Just never having enough. Just never having enough. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." They are continually chasing that rainbow that they set out there. They want that pot of gold, and they'll do anything and everything to get it. Doesn't matter who they hurt. Doesn't matter whose back they climb over. Yes, that's wrong. Materialism is driven by greed. Lack of self-control. Our buy now, pay later mentality has gotten a lot of us into trouble. Credit cards, you know, I have a couple of credit cards. I've got too much on both of them. I understand there are some things in life, you know, that you got to have when you got to have it. Cars broke down, you got to get it fixed. You don't have enough cash to get it fixed right then. You got to have a way around. Put it on a credit card. Legitimate uses for credit cards. But this idea of buying now and paying later, we just keep adding it up, adding it to our credit card until we get in such debt with our credit that we can't afford our own debt. Romans 13 and verse 8 says, "Owe no man anything except to love one another." Now, he's not saying there that credit is wrong, because we have examples, both in the Old and New Testament, of people borrowing money, lending money. And of course, one of the laws regarding the nation of Israel was that they were not to charge interest to a brother that borrowed money from them. Nothing wrong with borrowing money in and of itself. It's the borrowing money without and going overboard and get beyond the ability to be able to pay it back and know that you're not going to be able to pay it back. That's wrong. That is wrong. We need to stay within our means. We need to learn what our means are, first and foremost. What is the attitude that we have toward things? How does one become materialistic? Well, he starts with being discontent with what he has. And he wants more for himself. And then it turns into greed. He's got to do it, get it, so he does anything that he can to get it. And it's a lack of self-control. Before long, he's spiraling out of control. And you know what materialism is and can be? It can be an addiction. You know, you think of some of the symptoms or signs of addiction, such as when you're addicted to something, that thing becomes your primary focus and it absorbs all of your attention. Let's say that you are a drug addict. What is it that you think of almost all of the time? More drugs. It becomes your primary focus and absorbs your attention. It temporarily eradicates the dissatisfaction that you feel. Temporarily. Notice that. Temporarily. But what happens? The dissatisfaction comes back. And not only does it comes back stronger when it comes back. It provides a sense of self-worth, power, security, and accomplishment as long as you are doing that particular thing that you're addicted to. But as soon as you become in want again, or that you are not on that, let's say a drug addict again, you're not on that high, what happens? Your sense of self-worth bottoms out. And you don't have that power. You feel insecure. And you feel like you're worth nothing until you get that drug again. You know what? Material things has the same effect on us. It exacerbates the problem that it is sought by the person who's addicted to it to remedy the problem. It exacerbates the problem instead of remedying the problem. And it worsens functioning and creates loss of relationships. Materialism has these very same things. It can become an addiction to us. We need help. And it certainly affects us in various areas of our life, our character. Materialism breeds discontent. It breeds unbelief and anxiety. You know, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus deals with the problems there of anxiety and talking about do not worry about the things that you possess or the food that you have, clothes that you put on. Don't worry about those things. See, we should not be materialist in that regard, but place our faith and our trust in God. We need to realize the importance of good character. But materialism destroys our character. It produces envy and jealousy. We talked about it in Bible class. Keeping up with the Joneses. I just got to have as much. Now that's jealousy. I don't feel comfortable with myself because somebody else has more than I have. That's jealousy. But many of us, we can't be content even with that. We've got to have more than they have. Even if that means to hurt them so that they cannot have as much. That's envy. Lying, stealing, murder, injustice, sexual immorality. You can name every sin in the catalog, and you know what? You can tie every one of them in one way or another to materialism, to greed, to selfishness. Certainly, materialism affects our character. And it affects our relationships. It affects families. It affects parents and children and our spouse, our relatives, our friends, our associates, our brethren, and it affects our relationship with God. It affects our relationship. In Genesis chapter 13, Genesis chapter 13, verses 10 and 11. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Now, we all know that story. We know what eventually happened. What was the reason for Lot's decision to move there close and pitching his tent close to Sodom and Gomorrah? What was the reason? What was his motive? He looked out and he saw the well-watered plains. And he thought, money. Or he thought, well off. He thought, look at all the things I can provide for my family down there. What was the consequence? Our relationships can be destroyed because of the decisions that we make when they're based on materialistic gain. Our friends, our spouses can be, our relationship with them can all be destroyed. We talked about this particular problem in our Bible study as well this morning. You know, when we think that we can supplant, when we think that we can substitute our love and our time with money or with things, we have done a great disservice for our children. We need to understand that. Certainly, it destroys our relationships. And the effects of materialism destroys our spiritual growth. We've already talked about Luke 8:14. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. You know the Apostle Peter says, be diligent, therefore, and add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Be diligent. You know what? Those who are given to materialistic things will never be diligent in growing spiritually. It's just not going to happen. And when it comes to the local church, I truly believe that materialistic gain is the number one reason why we do not have enough Bible class teachers. We do not have people who are mature and spiritually mature enough to be qualified as elders and deacons and doing the things in evangelism, taking the time to develop themselves, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to other places. Our edification, our spiritual growth, in other words, is limited, is stunted, because we spend too much time worrying about material things. Our contributions, our time, and our effort, as far as giving to the Lord and to His work, is limited. We place a limit on it because of our hunger for material things. The book of Amos. I'm not going to take the time to read all of this, but in the book of Amos, you know, Amos chapter 6, verses 3 through 8, Amos talks about those who laid on their couches, who sat in their paneled houses and laid on their couches while the temple laid in ruins. What a shame that was. But we have brethren. I'm not talking about just here. I'm just talking about the world over, in the United States specifically. We have brethren who allow the church to deteriorate into nothing. I'm talking about the people. Because people have not grown spiritually as they should. And because all that because of our love for material gain. What should we do about it? In closing, number one, we need to realize the danger. We need to recognize the danger. In Matthew the 19th chapter, verses 23 and 24, we need to realize the danger and we need to recognize the importance of doing whatever it takes to overcome. Matthew the 19th chapter, verse 23, says this, "Assuredly I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now, you think about that. The realization of the danger is the most important part. I mean, we can still get to heaven with our riches. That's not the thing. It's not the material things that we've been blessed with, but it is our attitude towards them. How will we ever have the proper attitude unless we put forth the effort and realize the need to put forth the effort to have the right attitude towards things? 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10 also talks about the danger. Learn contentment. Philippians 4 and verse 11. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. We must learn contentment. With whatsoever things we have found ourselves with, we need to be content with those things, as Paul was. And we need to learn to use what we have for the Lord. What we have been blessed with, we need to use it for the Lord. In Acts 20 and verse 35, there, as the Apostle Paul quotes the Lord, "It is more blessed to what? To give than to receive." In 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, "Those who are rich, you tell them," Paul says, "to share the things that they have." With every opportunity of advancement, everything that comes down the pike for you and your opportunity to advance in life. Nothing wrong with advancing in life. Nothing wrong with getting a raise at work. Nothing wrong at all. Nothing wrong with taking a better paying job. But with every opportunity of advancement, you better think first and foremost this thing. What are the spiritual ramifications of my choice? You better think about that. Lot didn't. And Lot paid a very serious price. Matthew the 6th chapter, verses 19 through 21. The Lord says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where's your treasure? Where's your heart? In Matthew 16 and verse 26, "What profit is it to a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Is it worth it? When you think about materialism, it is certainly hurting the body of Christ. It's hurting the church. In my mind, at least, there's no doubt about that. I don't know what you think about it, but when you look at what the Scriptures have to say, and you look at how brethren sometimes, use what they have for their own gain, for their own good, for their own glory, and they neglect the things of the Lord, there is a problem. And I'm afraid that we have some brethren all over this country who have that problem. Now, what to do about it? Again, we need to learn contentment. We need to learn how to live within our means. We need to learn to say, "I have enough stuff." And we need to focus on the Lord and His work. We here want to do the Lord's work. It takes money to do it. It takes time, too. We're not just talking about money here, are we? We're talking about time. How much time do you spend in pursuing material gain so that you can have things that you want and not things that you need? While the church needs your time. It needs your work. It needs your effort. Those are some questions, some things that we need to think about, all of us, and think seriously about. This is a danger that the church faces today.
If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. I want to encourage you to think about your soul's salvation. All of the things that you may learn here on this earth that may advance you in your physical life so that you can become wealthy and prosperous here on this earth, all the things that you may gain as far as knowledge is concerned is not near as important as the knowledge that you need to have regarding what you must do in order to be saved, in order to get to heaven. Because this earth is only going to last for a little while. You need to learn and know what the Scriptures have to say. If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel and you don't know what to do, you need to get with someone and learn. You need to open your Bible and study, and I'll be glad to help you. You need to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. I can tell you that, but I'd rather take you through the Scriptures and show it to you if you don't know what you need to do. If you are here and you're a Christian and you have a problem in your life that you need help dealing with, look, turn to the brethren. We'll be glad to help you. If you have a sin in your life that you need to repent of, if it's private, take care of it. Don't leave this building this morning unprepared to meet your God. If there's something in your life that you need to make acknowledgement of publicly, take the opportunity this morning to do that. Anything we can do to help you, won't you come together, we'll stand and sing the song that's been selected.